Well, today it is my pleasure to introduce Julie Hall. Julie is a nationally known expert to estate attorneys, financial planners, real estate and insurance professionals, geriatric and assisted living managers. She has made her mark as a consultant and advisor on the disposition of personal property and also in predicting personal behavior when valuable property is at stake. She writes and speaks on behalf of seniors, educating them on why it's important for them to deal with their personal property before their parents become infirmed or die. Hall also educates boomer children, guiding them through the entire process on behalf of their parents. Hall is respected within the antiques and collectibles field at what has value versus what does not in an estate, alleviating confusion and pressure among those left behind to deal with the personal property distribution. So, Julie, welcome to our show today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Well, how are you today?
Oh, I'm well, thank you.
Oh, good. Well, as I read your book, I really appreciated your holistic approach. You talk about it not just being about the stuff, but about understanding our parents' wishes and getting the whole family on the same page and planning ahead. So it's what I believe is important as well. So I'm really glad we have this chance to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, so we had talked previously, and you're going to share some of your experiences, and then we're going to finish up with a list of things that we as adult children can do right now. So I love to start off and ask, how did you get into this business?
Well, I was doing just fine in a nice corporate position when I discovered accidentally that I had a gift and a passion for working with the elderly and in the antiques world. And it didn't take me very long to discover that many of our elders were being taken advantage of by unscrupulous professionals. And I remember this one woman in particular. Her name was Wilma, and she was 103 years old, and she consulted with me to come in and handle her personal property. She knew that her time was coming, and she didn't want to leave a mess for anybody, knowing that she had outlived her husband and her children. Well, I remember going to her house, which was filled with treasures, and we had agreed for me to come back in another week or two to come up with a plan. In the interim, when I came back and visited Wilma at her home, it was in complete shambles. You see, the neighbors and so-called friends had completely helped themselves to the fabulous things that Wilma had accrued over the course of her lifetime, and figurines that were worth hundreds and even thousands of dollars were sold for a mere $5, and beautiful furniture sold for pennies on the dollar, and I'll never forget when she looked up at me and said, "Did I get taken advantage of?" And I just said, "Yes, you did." And she said, "Well, you know, it's too bad all of us old people don't have a nice estate lady like you." And
aww.
It was at that, it was at that exact moment that I realized this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. I'm supposed to not only educate, but to be an advocate to not only the seniors, but to their children, of which I'm one of them. And she gave me my name, too, the estate lady.
Oh, that's a fabulous story. I tell you, until I read your book, I wasn't aware that people would come in and take advantage of the elderly. But, I mean, it's rampant.
It's everywhere you look. What's near and dear to my heart is people who suffer from memory impairment. Mm-hmm. They are a particularly easy prey. And exploitation will rear its head even in your own family and most frequently within the family and confines of the friends and neighbors. And it's very sad to say, but I've studied it for two decades, and it is alive and well.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that. And that's a heads up for all of us, because I think none of us really want to ever believe something like that goes on, but it does.
Unfortunately, it does.
Mm. Can you walk us through the process that you go through, kind of at a high level, from when you get the first call from an adult child saying, "My parent has passed away, and we just don't know what to do with all this stuff"? So how do you approach that?
Well, it's interesting because every phone call is pretty much the same, especially if it comes from a boomer child. That dialogue will sound like, "Hello, Ms. Hall. I'm calling you from, I don't know, Sacramento, California, and mom has a house full of things. I don't have a clue in the world what to do with it. I'm completely overwhelmed. I don't know what has value, what to donate, what to keep, what to sell, and I don't have any idea where to begin." That's the similar dialogue I hear every day, multiple times a day. And I always have to begin by asking questions about the particular scenario. Is mom and dad, are they alive? Have they passed? What's the situation? Who's in charge? Is there an executor or an executrix? And am I speaking to that person? Or are they just looking for a potential future resource? Looking into the situation and saying, "Oh, I think I'm going to need this person's help in the future." There's a lot of different scenarios that take place in this conversation, and it's up to me to figure out what do they need and what are their options. So it could be something along the lines of, "Where do I begin?" And it also depends on if mom and dad are alive or deceased.
Right. So you get calls from people all over the country then. You're based in North Carolina, right?
I am based in North Carolina, and I actually get some phone calls from Europe as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
There's just a tremendous amount of people. I mean, there's 78 million boomers, and there are 40 million of our parents. When you stop and look at the aging statistics, we're looking at a tidal wave of personal property that is headed in our direction. And the children are daunted by walking into mom and dad's house for the first time, especially after they've passed away, and they don't know where to begin, and they want to make good, sound decisions, but often don't know where to go to find the right resources.
Right. And like you say, it's not something we've ever dealt with before. And then on top of that, you've got all the emotions attached to the stuff.
Absolutely. And you know, when people come to me, they're often operating in a mode of crisis to begin with. A lot of people, unfortunately, don't pre-plan. They may not know that you can plan for something like this. In fact, I advise it in my book, The Boomer Burden, that a little bit of pre-planning can take care of a lot of that daunting feeling when you need to make these very difficult and challenging decisions.
Right, right. And we're going to talk about the planning a bit later, too. So what are some of the challenges inherent in the process when you're actually working with a family?
Well, and again, this is a lot like an onion with multiple layers here, because every family has different components and different relationships. We never really know what we're walking into. But very often, I'm walking into a situation, I would say greater than 75% of the time, the elderly parents have not made a plan. The children don't know a plan if there was one. They don't even know if mom and dad have a will. And so the children are approaching this from a perspective of, "I'm angry, I'm feeling resentful and bitter because we don't have a clue what's going on. Mom and dad never told us. And where do we start in this process?" Often, also, I'm dealing with siblings who are not really getting along. There always seems to be one that's either a little bit more challenging in the situation, or maybe they don't see eye to eye on what should be done, either in the division of the property or the dissolution of the property. I would say those are two of the most common scenarios that I see.
Right, right. So how do you handle a situation if there hasn't been a will and two siblings absolutely want the same item and it's valuable?
Well, there are two very different scenarios. If somebody dies without a will, that is called being intestate. And in most states across the country, and I'm not an attorney, this is a really bad way to leave your life. You just, not having a will leaves your family upside down, and it's not a good thing to do. As far as two or more siblings wanting the same heirloom, I see this frequently as well. You have a couple of options. Actually, you have more than a couple of options. Mom and Dad can make a plan or a wish list prior to their passing as to who gets what. Gifting while still alive is also a very beautiful option. My own mother, who is not well, has recently gifted some of my grandmother's jewelry to me, which I thought was really special. It was a moment that I will treasure. And it's not that it was significant in value, it's just that she wanted me to have it, and she got to see the joy on my face, and I got to see the joy on hers. So gifting prior to death is also a wonderful option. And then if you have a china service or a silver service, you can certainly use the King Solomon approach by dividing. However, if you have one heirloom, let's say a grandfather clock or grandfather's roll top desk, that division is not going to work, so you need to come up with plan B. Very often, this becomes a bone of contention within the family, and after mom and dad are buried, the siblings just never get along again for the remainder of their lives. I recommend having that appraised, coming up with an appraisal value, a fair market value, giving the other sibling who does not get that heirloom cash assets in that value or any other assets they want in the same amount, you know, equitable distribution. And if that can't be arranged, and a lot of people may or may not agree with me, I say sell it, mm-hmm. get rid of it, and divide the proceeds, because it's not worth losing a familial relationship over a material possession.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You mentioned in your book, it was really interesting, my husband has a Civil War sword that was passed down through the family, and you mentioned that in your book, and I was sitting there reading it, thinking about my sons.
Yes, just make a plan for it. Just make a plan
right,
for it, and everything
right.
will be well.
Yeah, and the gifting that you talked about, my brother-in-law and his wife have actually started to do that. They're in their 80s, and it was just such a great experience for us to receive some of those things this summer, and they were able to tell us the history behind them and who they belong to. So I think gifting before death is just a wonderful thing.
Oh, and I agree with you. And let me just throw this out there, that one of the regrets that I see in my boomer clients is they will often say things like, now I can't ask mom where that came from. Or I don't have the history behind this item because everybody I needed to ask is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so ask now. Get your history now, because this fabulous generation is passing away and we need to ask questions.
Right, right. Yeah, when you experience something like that, you think, wow, this was such a special time
mm-hmm.
to have that conversation. So I totally agree on that. Could you maybe share a story where people thought that their parents just had junk and they were going to get rid of it? And then because this is common. There's so much stuff, you think it's all junk. So can you give us an example of when you went in and they thought it was junk and it wasn't?
Oh, yes, almost every day. That's part of the dialogue, too. Julie, mom's got a house full of junk. And I will usually ask mom's age. And if they tell me she's, you know, in her late 70s or older, I know that the house is not just full of junk. Yes, there was one house in particular I went into, and I was dealing with the executor, and the house was really not in very good condition, and a lot of the material possessions in the home had not been taken care of. But I noticed these laundry baskets that were just piled in the basement of the home. And I turned to the executor and said, what are these laundry baskets full of things? And he said, oh, these are all the ugly things in the house. They're going to Goodwill. Now, appraiser school 101, if it's ugly, it's probably got value. And that's really not what you learn in school. That's just what I've learned in my experience. And I picked up a vase, and it was covered in some mold. And I said, well, we can send this to Goodwill if you wish, but it's about a $25,000 vase.
Mm.
And there were two other smaller ones right behind it. And to make a long story short, I bought that home and the other two vases, cleaned them up, sold the first one for $57,800, and the other two for $14,000. Now, that's not a bad find.
Oh, my goodness.
And you see, this, I'm not saying this happens in every home,
mm-hmm.
but you just don't know what you perceive as junk. Someone like myself who can walk in, consider me a detective. My job is to go in there and use my skills and my eyes to say, this has value, this doesn't. And there's different types of value. Of course, sentimental value is very special too.
Mm-hmm.
But in a case of vases that are $65,000, I think it's worth paying an appraiser, you know, a few hundred dollars to come in and identify those items. And that's a great story.
Yeah. Oh, that really is. So really, the lesson is to have an appraiser come in.
It's certainly something I advise. I am an appraiser, but I'm also an advisor, and my job is to go in there and identify these heirlooms and significant pieces of significant value for the heirs to give them peace of mind that they're making the right decision with these pieces, whether they want to sell them or divide them equitably among the heirs.
Okay, that's great. Now, we've got about 12 minutes left, and I know one of the things that everybody's been writing to me about, they say their parents are aging and their home's cluttered, and they really
yes.
want to get started now.
Mm-hmm.
So can you give us some things that adult children can do right now?
Absolutely, I can. And this is for the boomer children. If they would like more information, I have tremendous amount of information in my book, The Boomer Burden. Here's what you do. The first thing you need to do is you need to talk to mom and dad, especially if they are still mentally and physically able to do so. You need to find out about their finances, their wishes, where their legal documents are. If they don't have any, now is a really good time to get them. I know that that's oversimplified for many people that are listening because some of them are afraid to approach their parents, but you need to approach them with a great deal of love and make sure that they have their affairs in order. So have that conversation. The second thing is you have to start to declutter. And I guarantee you a lot of your parents are not going to go along with this or won't necessarily like it. A lot of the homes that I go into are very, very cluttered. And for whatever reason, this Depression-era generation, they love paper. They love the newspapers, the magazines, the catalogs. It's time to start taking this out of the house, first and foremost. Put it in shopping bags or garbage bags. Put it in your trunk and get rid of it. And you know, just tell mom and dad, I'm going to help you thin it out, and I promise you won't miss it. And just when you're over visiting, if you have the opportunity, every time you're there, just take a few bags of things out. Also, you know, this paper is a fire hazard and a tripping hazard, so it's very important to remove it from the home. Remove food that is expired or that mom and dad are not going to consume. This takes up a lot of space in the kitchen, and while we're talking about the kitchen, I guarantee you that their kitchens are absolutely full of glasses, everyday china, Cool Whip containers, pie tins, you name it, mayonnaise jars, they are in there. They don't need that at this point in their life, so the kitchen can really be whittled down. Start researching trusted local resources where mom and dad are living. If they're still living in the house and perhaps they're not doing well or they're beginning to decline, you need to find a good estate planning attorney, perhaps a CPA, a realtor, someone like myself who's an estate liquidator and personal property appraiser, clergy, hospice, assisted living. You need to start building a file of local resources. And keep that file handy when the time comes for you to need it. Discuss and document, if possible, the allocation of personal property or heirlooms. This advice is for your mom and dad. Ask your children what they would like to have and create a wish list. then have an appraiser come in and assess a value, evaluate it. And if you have a wish list for Bobby and Sue, that tally should be as equitable as possible to make things as fair as possible for both of those heirs. Keep a diary is another thing that I recommend. If you suspect something isn't quite right with mom or dad, document what you're seeing so that you can share it with your other siblings. And I think it's also really okay to continue to tell your parents that you're just going to help them thin out. Don't tell them you're going to be taking things away from them because their things are very, very important to them. But you can thin out their closets, their clothing. They generally have a lot of clothing and their closets are very, very full. You know, here's a startling statistic. We only use 20% of what we own. Think about it. We only use the same 20% of our favorite clothes, our favorite shoes, our favorite things. So what about the other 80%? Let's dress the less fortunate, feed the less fortunate. Let's get it out of our home and help other people. We already talked about if you have antiques or you have items that you are unsure whether or not they need to be evaluated, hire a personal property appraiser. And this is an objective third party who can help you ascertain what has value versus what doesn't. It's not so easy on the sentimental items, and very often sentimental items can fuel every bit as much fighting as an item that has value. And just keep in touch with your siblings, stay close to your parents, and keep everybody on the same page through the process. Siblings get their nose out of joints when other siblings don't keep in touch and do things that the other sibling isn't aware of. So keep everybody on the same page at the same time. And, of course, my biggest piece of advice, whatever you do and whoever you do it with or to, you come from a place of love and compassion, not from a place of fear or anger. Always love. Mom and Dad, we love you. We want to make sure that things are okay after you leave this place. And only you can assure us of that by doing these few things. We need to work together to make sure that when this eventuality happens, that everything goes smoothly. So always come from a place of love. Always. That has helped. I've seen that work so well in my line of work with the multitude of clients that I've had.
And I imagine, too, I know just from my mother, it just made her so much happier to know that my brother and I were working together and we weren't, you know, like fighting with each other, you know, over mm-hmm. this situation. So, yeah, totally.
Well, there, you know, fighting is something I think I've seen enough fighting to last three lifetimes. Mm. And so I come from a place, I am a boomer child. My parents are 80-ish. Neither one of them is well, and I have one sibling that I absolutely adore. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing in the world that I would allow to come between my sibling and I, especially a material possession. And the way I look at it is, if for some reason he wanted it that badly, he can have it.
Right.
You know, my parents, my love for my parents is not in their things. I close my eyes, and they're in my heart. Does that make sense?
Right. No, that is such an important thing to take away. It's not the things. It's, you know, our relationships and our love and all of that. So you're absolutely right. It's almost like you're helping people just kind of deal with this stuff, but the real thrust of your work is really the relationships and the people.
And it's about keeping the peace, and ultimately the bottom line is, and this may sound a little terse, it's not about us.
Mm-hmm.
It's about our parents. It's about honoring our parents. It's about respecting their wishes and helping them figure out what it is they would like. And ultimately, it trickles down that it makes our life easier too when we know the plan. And, it, you know, if you have a good relationship with your parents, you have to fulfill and honor their wishes and do your best to minimize that fighting. My book, The Boomer Burden, is just filled with stories and advice and problems and solutions to almost any given situation that you will run into when you have to dissolve a parent's estate.
Yeah, I highly recommend everybody to read the book. And in fact, I'm going to get a copy and send it to my brother because I think your stories just really kind of make us think about our situation too, you know, and just give us more insight. And I like the way you've got this real holistic approach in your book. As you get towards the end of your book, you start talking about now think about yourself and your own home and your situation with your own children.
Well, because we're aging too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most if you're a boomer child, you chances are you're well established. Some are married, some are not. But you have a home full of things. And we can't possibly take on everything from our parents' homes. And I have an interesting theory. You see, our parents, our grandparents, they didn't have all that much.
Right.
So our parents absorbed their personal property.
Mm-hmm.
So the boomer generation that we're seeing today is taking on multiple generations at once. It's not just about mom and dad. It's about grandmother and great aunt Bertha and Uncle Joe. So we're seeing a variety of generations under one roof.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Now, we're down to about 2 minutes. This has been a great call, Julie. So appreciative
Wonderful.
Of your time. And we've had a lot of callers listening, and I'm going to check the chat room in just a moment. But I want to give you enough time so you can tell people how they can reach you. Your website, your Facebook, your book. So if you want to talk about that.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Well, my book is The Boomer Burden, Dealing with Your Parents' Lifetime Accumulation of Stuff by Julie Hall, the Estate Lady. It has hit number one on Amazon in multiple categories, and I'm tickled. It is predicted to be a bestseller. And my website is www.theestatelady.com, or if you would like to email me directly, my email address is Julie, J-U-L-I-E, at theestatelady.com. And I am on Facebook and LinkedIn, and also have a wonderful blog that is attached to my website if anybody is interested. And I also do a tremendous amount of writing of articles on the internet, which is also linked on my website. And it's just, for me, it's all about helping people and the educational perspective of it and the advocacy, making sure that people have the knowledge that they need to make good, sound decisions and also be granted peace of mind through those decisions.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Julie, for sharing this time with us and sharing your insight and your passion for helping people and their families. And it's just been great. I've learned so much from you. So definitely I will post all of those links on the show notes. And I hope that our listeners go to your site and get your book.
I hope so,
yes.
too.
Is there anything else you'd like to finish up with? Any thoughts you want to leave us with?
Well, the only thought that I have would be that, you know, there's so many of us that are going through this or getting ready to go through this. Please do pick up a copy of the book and share it with others because it really will help.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Julie, and everyone have a great day.
You too.
Okay.
It's tough to cope with asthma, diabetes, or COPD. If you are an adult and have one of these conditions, you may be at increased risk of getting pneumococcal pneumonia, even if you are a young adult. In some serious cases, pneumococcal pneumonia may be fatal and can strike anywhere. Compared to healthy adults, symptoms can be more severe and may take longer to recover from. Don't risk getting pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor if vaccination is right for you. Brought to you by Pfizer.